Okay, here's our buddy Jason Strudwick. I did not know that, Struddy. What makes you a Giants fan, and how miserable have you been the last 4 or 5 years?
Well, you know what? I've been a fan for a long time. Lawrence Taylor, I love the way he played, and we played similarly type of defense, him in the NFL, me in the NHL. And I loved him, and I've always loved that team. I will never walk away. I know some people walk away from their team. I'll never walk away from the Giants, but last night was hard. I actually stopped watching after, you know, Danny Dimes was trying to throw a ball across his body to Saquon Barkley, and literally it hit the Sue as he was falling down. Like, I was like, I love Eli, I love his commentary thing, but I'm out.
Yeah.
So, you know, the problem is this, and I don't know that much about football, but you got to protect your quarterback. Their offensive line is awful. You may as well have Old Dog, Big Al, Noodles, and you, Hayes, doing it, because he's running for his life. He's running for his life. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And that's not good enough. So that's my big issue. So I didn't have a good day, but whatever. We'll move on, and it's another high pick. We got two picks, probably in the top 12 this year, so we'll add hopefully some offensive linemen that actually play the position. My God.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, that offensive line has been an issue forever. When was the who's the guy in New York we love, the sports radio guy that freaks out all the time?
Francesa?
Don LaGreca.
Don LaGreca.
The Sarchik theorem. You're dead.
That was on the Giants O-line like 4 years ago. Like, LaGreca must just be, freaking out still in New York.
Let's chat with him tomorrow.
We got to find a way to check in with him for sure, because they're just a mess down there. But anyway, I guess the Oilers are in Dallas tonight, and everyone's tracking McDavid, his chance for 400 assists in his career, which would be one of the fastest all time. And he's also got a point in 18 straight, the first 18 games of the season, only the sixth player to ever do that. He's never catching the Gretzky streak. Didn't Gretzky have a point like 50 straight 50 games?
50-some games, yeah.
55 games. Like, yeah. It's just that one, I think that might be the craziest stat. That may never be beaten of all the crazy Gretzky stats. But how far do you think it's reasonable here to expect McDavid to keep chipping in points per game? You think he can go another 5, 10, 15? What's reasonable here with McDavid?
Yeah, well, you know, their power play is deadly. And so, you know, you're getting a lot of bonus points in there. And they're earned. Like, don't get me wrong. These aren't phantom, like O-Dog used to pick up in PB AAA in Toronto. But, you know, these are earned points. So I think you have to, you know, think that those are going to be some nights where you're maybe not supposed to get points 5-on-5, but you get it on the power play. So I think he's got some miles still left in this. And he doesn't talk about it all, but I get the sense he's very aware of hockey legends and hockey records. And the stats, and not that he's selfish, but those top players are. So I think he's a big deal. But when I look at and I think of the Oilers, I'm not thinking about their power play and their penalty kill, which is great. I'm not thinking about the Leons and Connors and those guys. I'm thinking about, can they develop an ability to be comfortable in tight checking games? And I go back to last two games ago against Winnipeg, where it was a 2-1 game. It was a really low scoring, tight game, and the Oilers won it, and they were comfortable playing that way. And that's, you know, you want to get into more of those types of games so that when you get to playoffs, you know, you're not going to get a lot of calls, and you're going to have to learn to be like, we might take this to the last minute to win the game. So that's what I want to see. You know, Dallas is a hard one tonight. I don't know how that, they're not scoring a lot of points, although I guess they've had a few more goals in the last couple games. Then you got Arizona that, you know, is starting to show a little bit of life, but, you know, I think we kind of know where they're going to end up. And then, you know, Vegas. So are there a lot of tight games? I'm not sure. But that's where the Oilers have. They have to learn and feel comfortable to play in those really low-scoring tight games.
Strudy, we were talking about McDavid and his unbelievable plays, both of them in the last couple of weeks, and we were trying to put a number on it. If you could put a number on how many plays or goals he's going to have when he's done playing, let's say 10 years from now, how many are going to be better than that? I threw out the number 30. Because it just seems like you never know what's going to happen every night.
But you think you've reached the top of the, you know, top, and then they just keep going. It's kind of like a dunk contest if you've never seen one before. And, you know, you see, oh, my God, look at that. It was a 360. Then there's a windmill. Then there's guys, you know, doing all these crazy things. It just keeps topping it. And, you know, the 1-on-4 against Rangers was crazy. The other night against three guys, again, just crazy. And, you know, you're not supposed to attack four players. It doesn't work like that. But he's not programmed that way. He's like, oh, I saw some light. I mean, most of us would have dumped it in, but not him. So, you know, 30, you know, that's pretty optimistic. I hope we do. But, I mean, he's so talented. He can beat you in so many different ways that I can't wait to see what he gets. Like his top 10, when he's actually done playing, you know, whenever that is, his top 10 will be, you know, some of the 10 greatest goals the NHL has ever seen. Not just for him, but the NHL's ever seen. Because it's just, and that's not even a homer. Like, that's just a fact. What he does is beyond comprehension sometimes.
Strutty, in Edmonton, a lot like Toronto. Toronto's learning to win low-scoring games. They're doing it with a lot of different players. And with Jack Campbell playing a lot, they put in Joseph Woll in a backup situation. He's 22 years old. Edmonton has Stuart Skinner, you know, a young goaltender as well, kind of having some success. What do you see, I mean, with the age of Mike Smith at 39, oh, said he was 48 the other day on the show, but it's, you know, realistically, Mike Smith and his body, and they're saying he's still week to week, we're not even sure where he's at. Do you think that the Oilers are still, you know, maybe a little iffy on their goaltending situation? Do you think Ken Holland's just giving Stuart Skinner a longer look here before he maybe addresses that situation closer to the deadline? Because Skinner's looked good, but, you know, if you want to have success in the playoffs, a lot like Toronto, you want to be deep in every position. Do you see Skinner as a answer right now at that young age?
You know, Ken Holland's, one of the things you hear him say all the time is that if you have time, use it, right? And so I think that now's the chance with Mike Smith out for them to get a sense of where Skinner's at, not just for this year, but for next year. And I actually, you know, I worked with Stuart Skinner at this hockey academy when he was in grade 7. It's like, you know, 10 years ago. And I will take no credit on him. Like, I was trying not to wreck him. And even at that time, he was huge. And, you know, he was, you could tell he had something special. And what I see is a guy who's matured so much since his draft year. And that's normal. But, you know, I'm not the goalie expert. A lot calmer. As
Did
a
you rip
like
any by him, Strutty? Did you rip any by
oh,
him?
Oh, yeah. Only on the backhand. From grade 8 down, I can only shoot backhand. And I'd never shoot forehand because I don't want to ruin the kid's confidence. But, you know, he's a guy that he's starting to figure it out. And he's, you know, it's exciting because if he can become a solution, you know, it solves so many problems for the Edmonton Oilers. But, you know, Mike Smith, at some point, he'll be back. Again, a lot of road before the end of the season. He'll be back. You still got Mikko. Then, you know, you have Skinner there. And if you feel Skinner can be a solution, you know, what is out there that's going to be better than those three guys? And what's the cost going to be? Everyone keeps saying Marc-Andre Fleury. And, it looks like he's starting to show some signs of life again in a kind of a tough situation after the coach change. But what is that going to cost? How do they fit him underneath their cap? And then do they need to plug other holes? Like, that third-line center seems to be good with Ryan McLeod right now. But is that the right place for a 21-year-old if you think you can go 1, 2, 3 rounds deep? Do they need a left shot D? You know, with Nurse out, Keith is in, Broberg, a young guy who also they're high about, who's getting a chance now. Is that your three left D, a rookie D on your third left spot? Or do you want to bring in a guy like Ben Chariot or Sherrod or whoever? So, you know, I think there's three spots. The center, third line center that, you know, you want to make sure is right. The goalie and then a D-man. Which two of those can you prioritize, or can you do one if the cost is high? And then even how many assets you're willing to wheel out and trade away. So it's a challenge. So I think they're really happy with what's happening with Skinner. But unless you're getting something that to me is much better than what you have in the pipes right now, is it worth that trade?
With Jason Strudwick, there's a real separation between the four big boy Canadian teams right now. The two teams in Alberta have been outstanding. Leafs have really been cooking recently. And Winnipeg's in a good spot. They lost last night. You know, Pittsburgh and Jari, they're defending well. And all of a sudden, Jari looks really good. But Winnipeg's in a good spot. Their offense a little bit stagnant, but it'll get there. They'll get rocking at some point. Then the other three teams are a mess. Montreal, Ottawa, and Vancouver. Of those three, the messes, Strutty, which one do you think is maybe the biggest mess of all, and which one should be most disappointed with where they find themselves currently?
Oh, it's clearly Vancouver. I don't think it's even a question. I think they had aspirations to be a playoff team, you know, and the moves they made, you know, with Arizona, that big trade to ship out all those deals and bring in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's actually been pretty decent for them, you know, from what I've watched. But, you know, does the contract match the production? That's kind of the challenge there. And then the length of that deal. But, you know, you have Pettersson's trying to find his way, Bo Horvat, you know, all these guys, and they're just, they should be better than they're showing right now. But like, where's Tyler Myers' games at? You know, Tucker Pullman, is he really a top four defenseman? Like, it's, I thought they'd be a lot more competitive. You know, Seattle is kind of running. You know, they're unfortunately having a tough start. Montreal has just fallen off, and then Ottawa. I thought they'd be a little bit better, but Vancouver for me is the one that is really kind of, you know, really disappointing. And, you know, they played a little bit better, and sometimes it takes a while to grind it out, but they're so far behind now. The playoffs, you know, you're going to tell yourself you can win it or make it if you're in that room, but I think we all know it's a pretty long road back from that start they've had.
Strud, would you say that Vancouver, when you played there, you were the most popular, like off the ice, most recognized, or was there a different market? What was the market where you were the most recognizable? Islanders, Rangers?
Not in New York. I mean, no one knows anyone there, right? I'd say Vancouver, I was very popular in the yoga crowd. That's where I started doing yoga. And I wasn't wearing Lulus. Like, I didn't even hear about Lululemon. Everyone was wearing that. I didn't even know what they were on. I was still wearing Roots. And, you know, Beaver Canoe, to say the yoga classes. But I was pretty popular in the yoga classes. That's where it kind of started. So outside of that, like, you know, we had Nazi and the Twins. You know, those guys, the Swedes are very popular. If you're from Alberta, you're not quite as popular as the Swedes.
No,
I'll be honest. I got to be honest. I did. You and I walked into the Roxy one time, and it was like, I was walking with the president. I don't know what happened. Like, the people yelling his name, and he had a, you know, shirt open and a collar. Like, I was like, this guy is something else. I mean, that's where the night train was enjoying himself. Because, you know, the Nazi and the Twins, they didn't go to the Roxy. They didn't go
out. Not every night like this guy.
No, that's when he could still smoke. I had this suit. It was a brown suit I got. Mark Messier took me to his tailor, and he bought me this brown suit. This thing, I could wear it for 5 nights in a row at the Roxy, and it wouldn't even smell like smoke. It would repel the odor of smoke. And I didn't graduate. When I got left Vancouver, I moved it to the road. I called it the Road Warrior. Like, this thing, I could literally, like, a 7-day road trip, one suit, one tie, two shirts, lock it. It was unbelievable. I had to retire it. I had to retire it eventually. Put it up in the rafters.
Well, you should have signed it before it went up there. We need that tailor, man. We got to get out there because that could be very valuable stuff.
Just the thickest brown suit you have, please.
Corduroy.
Yeah, give us whatever you've got.
It added like 30 pounds. I looked humongous. It was so thick. But this thing, I don't know if it took it in and fell out of the bottom of my pants, but never a crease, never a stain, not a smell of smoke. And the first morning I got up after, I'm like, what does this smell so good? And that was when we had the fat ties. Those fat ties, they stunk like smoke. But my suit, oh, no problem. Like, yeah. It's so smooth.
I love it. Well, Strutty, it's always great catching up with you, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight, and I'm sure we'll do it again real soon. Thank you for this.
See you, boys.
There's Jason Strudwick of TSN Radio out in Edmonton.